And welcome to Madiva Podcast with me, Sarah Golding. Hello.
Madiva is the modern audio drama indie voice acting podcast for you beautiful voice actors everywhere. Today's guest is one of the most brilliant of brilliant people, insert own words of brilliant brilliance here, to describe what she does with creative aspects of all things The Lucky Die. And today we look at what it takes to become a voice actor for her show and more. Enjoy. The amazing creative I have on today is a multi-talented writer, producer, voice actor, weaver of worlds and characters of adventure and excitement. She has many names and often comes to you live to your ears from Iceland. Yes, it is one of the best screamers I know, Hem Cleveland. Hello again.
Hi. I promise not to be screaming at you this time.
Oh, thanks. Although I have found that episode beautifully useful and revisited it a few times when I have been in need of screaming sustenance.
How are you doing with the screaming now? How's that going? Let's check in on that first.
You know, I am looser with it. It's still not, you know, it's not my easy option. Mm-hmm. So it is a build to it, but I feel it is getting better. I have utilized it a good few times since we spoke, so thank you. If you don't know what we're talking about, Hem is a most amazing screamer for all occasions. And look back in the Madiva archive for that glorious episode where we kind of workshop styles and looking at different types of screams. So if you need that for your horror audio, jump in.
I feel really bad because I kind of sprung that workshop on you. Like, by the way, Sarah, let's get you screaming.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love a bit of improvised screaming sessions. Should happen more often. But today is a very little sidestep of coolness into, well, a different world of voice acting that currently I haven't experienced very much. I've kind of pinged in and out for the lovely Travis Fengroff and Caitlin Statz on Liberty and a few other bits and pieces that they do.
You've actually already been on my show.
Yes, which is quite crazy. I think when I did it, I didn't realise it was yours. I don't understand how that in my brain didn't equate. But she
To be fair, I think it was, for those who probably should have some more context. So I run one actual play called The Lucky Die, and Travis runs another one called Dark Dice. Mm-hmm. And I am a player in Dark Dice, and I run the game in The Lucky Die. Mm-hmm. And Travis and I had a dumb idea where, like, hey, how about we do a crossover episode? Yes. Where both the crews meet and we both, Travis and I, DM the game. Yeah. That was an interesting set of logistics we had to go through. There was ended up being like 8 people in one recording session.
Great.
So the crossover episodes are already live in my feed. They're yet to come up in Dark Dice. Mm-hmm. But Sarah voiced a character that I think one of the only two characters we actually meet that has any lines in the crossover. And Sarah bears the most amazing witch. I love it much.
I love an old lady witch. Any more need for one out there, I'm quite happy to play. So we want to talk really about the process of the different styles of acting, how to prepare and get into actual play podcasts like yours. So if you can give folks a general synopsis, how is working on a show like yours different to perhaps another audio drama or audio fiction story based podcast?
So actual plays come in a huge variety of things. An actual play is essentially me, my buddy sitting around a bunch of microphones playing Dungeons and Dragons or whatever type of RPG systems there are, role-playing mm-hmm. games. There are loads of systems out there. I just happen to use Dungeons and Dragons because it's most accessible to a lot of people that I mm-hmm. know. And they can be anything from, let's stick a microphone in the middle of the table and have 5 people talk at it, which, by the way, is really bad audio. Please step up and buy your own mics. There's also different levels of editing on it. So everyone can have their own microphones and send it off to an editor, and they cut out all the ums, the ahs. They can add sound effects in, like, I'm going to shoot an arrow, ping. Mm. Or they'll add music in, or they'll get someone to, like, re-record all the NPC lines, which we do a little bit of. It can also be something much like Fallen Scholar do for Liberty and Dark Dice, which mm-hmm. is they cut out all the combat, make it sound descriptive by making us players re-record a bunch of lines and getting every NPC recast. And it sounds like a much more, I guess, traditional audio drama compared to, say, five people sitting around a table playing a game. Now, much like any other audio drama, how much effort you put in or how much polish you put into it, it really varies the quality. So actual plays get a bad rap for having five people sitting around a microphone, doing no editing, no considering of the listener. And I don't disagree that they are awful.
Yeah, I have tried my way into a few, I must say, and thought, oh, no.
Yeah, some of them are real rough, but you get exactly the same in the audio drama, like the traditional audio drama route, which is you just have people who sound bad and it's not paced correctly. And exactly the same thing can happen in an actual play. Yeah, so that's kind of like the difference between actual plays and audios. One is very, very, very heavily improv based. Actual plays are literally, I sit here on this end of the table and... Actually, someone was saying the best differences between writing a story and having it like read by cast and running an actual play is that if, for example, you write the character goes down the hallway and passes three doors and takes the turning on the right, I can't control them. My characters decide they're going to turn back the other way and go hunt down an evil monster for gold. So that's very much the difference between the two.
So you can affect the plot, essentially, as a voice actor and change it. So you're kind of like a writer as well in that respect.
Yeah, so there's a couple of different like voice acting ways into this. One is to become a player. And that is to essentially do what Aethra does on The Lucky Die, which is he has a character, he understands the game, and he plays his character all the way through it. The difference kind of being compared to like improvising a role is that when he tries to do something that requires a lot of skill, he'll have to roll a dice. And that's where like the tension in the story comes on, rather than big stakes. It's no, can he actually do this?
Right.
So for him as a voice actor, like that's great. He gets to develop a role, improvise the whole thing. And a lot of things are based on whether he can roll the dice or not. The other route for voice actors in is to replace lines done by the dungeon mistress, which is me, and replace lines of characters that they meet. For example, I have we have a sentient talking sword. So I decided I didn't want to voice that. So I got someone else to voice that. So what I did when we were playing the game, I did all the lines. Yep. I sent the lines as a script to my buddy Rethix, and Rethix recorded the lines, sent it back to me, and our editor cuts the lines in where my voice was previously. Great. That's the other route for voice actors into actual voice.
So just for example, with that specific way, how much contact did you have with Rethix about their character itself, about the voice, about finding that, or did they just completely improvise and ping it back to how they wanted?
It was a little both. A little both, actually. So I sent him a message before I introduced the character. I'm like, hey Rethix, you're like the deepest gravelly bloke I know. I kind of want a really deep gravelly voice for a talking sentient sword, and I drew him in by telling him that the sword was of questionable moral values.
Because we'll dream of those parts.
My buddy Rethix is he's great at doing dark, like those kind of really dark characters. And I drew him in with that, and I told him basically you're a bloodthirsty sentient sword. I sent him the history of the character, and he sent a message back saying, yep, I think I have an idea. I'm like, great, I just want it deeper, more gravelly than my voice, which is a little higher than his. And I was actually I was in America with my friend Casey. I was staying in their place while I was doing a live show. And he sent me the takes and I played them and I almost jumped out of my skin. Like, holy crap. Yeah, so at least for me, I tried to send as much backstory, anything that would be relevant, like how I kind of want the character portrayed, how I kind of think about this. And then my ultimate line at the bottom always is, but just have fun. If you want to improvise something, do it. As long as it doesn't change the intent of the line that I've given you. Just go nuts and have fun, because why not? Like, it's going to be fine. And if I don't like it, I'll tell you. So I also have the wonderful David Old, who plays... Yeah, he's incredible. I sent him a message the first time. I was like, hi, do you... I know that you're, like, much bigger. And I know that... do you want to do a voice for me? And his response was like, don't be shy. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I'll do a voice. And he... I'm saying, I sent him in the history of the character and what I intend for that character's, like, arc to be the character is basically their nemesis. And I said, just have fun with it. Just be as evil as you want and just be a dick. And he improvised so many good lines. I sent a note to my editor and I was like, use all of the improv. It's amazing.
See, that sounds so exciting to not have the rigidity. I know some folks do when you're doing something, say, similar ilk, that, you know, the first couple of takes stick to what's there, third take, do a wild one, go crazy, add whatever you like. And I love that. I think that should happen a lot more often. People shouldn't be afraid to just trust voice actors, knowing these characters they're playing, and give them a chance to see what comes out of their crazy brains.
I think allowing people, like, not just in actual plays, but like all audio, allowing people to improv, like, usually it's one, two, maybe three people writing scripts. Mm-hmm. And at least for me, having to improvise people on the spot, it's often, at least to me, can feel like the same person, just with a different voice. And having people improv adds something different that's clearly a different character. It's not like, oh, I picked up this like mook over here and I duplicated them over there, which happens a lot when you improv a lot and have to do it on the fly in the same kind of like world.
Uh-huh.
So having people improvise, I think, is great. It just adds things that you don't see or think about in the character. Yeah. And
super.
Improv is good. Allow it.
I mean, I guess it's also, you know, a good way to practice just thinking on the spot, that spontaneity. And also with a group of other people, I think that's what's cool, is that you do work in the same space. Now, not necessarily actually in the same space, but virtually.
Yeah, that's right. So when you normally play role-playing games, normally inverted commas, like, it's changed vastly over the last couple of years, but the traditional thing being you all sit around in the same room, you have your character sheets out, you roll your dice and you play and have fun. And there's a very different energy to that. It's really good. Changing it to being online, like, that energy is a little bit lost. You don't really have that. But I found that recording brings that kind of focus back to the game, and I still really enjoy it. We do all of our stuff online because... they live in America and I lived in Britain at the time. And also, now that Aethra is here, we have, like, when we did the big crossover event with Travis, it was 8 players in 7 different time zones. So that would not have been possible if it weren't for the internet.
Yeah.
So I'm forever
That's
grateful.
Immense, isn't it? And that and generally, I mean, did you have much lag on that? And what did you use? Was it Zoom-based?
Yeah, we used Zoom at the time because although Discord has gotten much better, it's not great. And if you have a boosted server, you're kind of okay. But yeah, we didn't really suffer a lot from lag. The Zoom connection was pretty stable. And those people that were having issues, we just told them to turn their cameras off and things became a lot easier.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, we kind of, Travis and I were messaging backwards and forwards all the time because we needed to communicate on how the game was running. But other than that, it was actually pretty good. We had a time limit, like, some people have to go to bed, some people are about to go to work. It was vastly different time zones. Like, so we only have this 3-hour slot, and it was the only thing I think we could do in like 2 weeks. If we don't hit this spot, we have to do it again in 2 weeks' time. Like, that's the only next time. Uh-huh. So it was like a do or die. There were 7 people relying on you sort of thing. So.
Yeah. Did you organize that using like doodle polls or just email or I'm just intrigued because organizing that amount of people is
it's a nightmare. the biggest con, like, one of the biggest like role-playing things out there, a streamed thing, is Critical Role, and the biggest illusion they give you is that a group will meet every week. It doesn't happen. It's sheer fallacy. I think we ended up just using an Excel spreadsheet because I don't think any of us really knew about doodles so much at that time. I think we'd use an Excel spreadsheet, and what I did is like, all right, here's a 3-hour chunk, here's a 3-hour chunk, here's a 3-hour chunk, here's a 3-hour chunk over this day, this day, this day. Tell me if you can make it. If you have to change something, don't tell me it's a maybe. It's either a yes or a no.
Yes.
I didn't rely this maybe crap. Like, no, I don't want failures. We're either going to do this or not.
Yeah, no good plan.
And everyone was very good.
Grand. Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. What a mammoth task to organise. And if you haven't heard it, we'll pop links onto the show notes of all the things we're talking about so you can hunt them down and have a listen. So
episode 50.
Oh, there you go. Going to purge him for all our favourite things. but talking about the preparation of folks otherwise, I know we talked about one specific way, but what else would you do with your voice actors to prep them for a game, for a session?
So if again, this depends on whether they are essentially re-recording the lines that I do improvised at the time, or whether they're actually playing in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a lot of room or a lot of ability to bring new players in for like one session. Some podcasts are really good at being able to do that.
Right.
They're very much able, like, hi, you're a guest. What I need from you is a basic background on what your character is. I need you to make sure you know at least the vague understandings of the mechanics of the game.
Mm.
And this is what you need to know about the world and the place that you're coming into and some of the players that you, sorry, characters that you may know.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great way of preparing a guest to come on for a show for like a one-off or a two-off recording session.
Mm-hmm.
When I brought Aether on originally, he was actually just a guest player, and I gave him, I think, 30 pages of notes on the world.
Wow.
And I sat down with him one-on-one, and I basically had exactly the same preparation I do for my long-standing players, which was, what do you want from this character? What does the character want? What's this? What's that? What's the other? Like, I try to avoid what you have had for breakfast, because it's like, we never cover breakfast. It's usually rations. That's normally what they're going to have in the morning. So we went
allergies, maybe.
Yeah, that's a whole different game I'm not going to get into. So yeah, I went through with him and prepped in on, like, I did exactly the same as I did for my long-standing characters. Basically went through the mm-hmm. whole thing and gave him this, that, and the other, and that made him feel ready enough to get in and actually just pick up from the moment that I introduced his character, and that was good.
Mm.
That's if you're coming in as a player.
Yes.
And a lot of podcasts, actual plays, are able to do that. Mm. Some people don't do as much prep. Some people just like, hey, turn up with a character. Let's see what happens.
Scary.
My story is a little too in-depth. I can't do that. Yeah, it is very scary. I've guessed in another podcast, I'm like, I don't know what I'm
doing. That's what I was going to ask you about, actually, is your experience as a VA on other people's projects. And can you ping out any specifically memorable good experiences or things that you found hard?
So I've done a guest spot. All right. So there's a podcast called Taking Initiative, which is another D&D actual place. And mm-hmm. I've been following them for a little while, so I kind of knew the story and the plot, but they stuck me in a side story, like one of those like B-rolls, like, well, you're off on this adventure.
Okay.
They were very good at saying, hey, this is the kind of like level, this is the kind of like thing we want. It's a very serious game. It didn't turn into a serious game, but that was the prep I was given. Yeah, so they kind of gave me that, and they were like, okay, so we're going to set you in a scenario. This is going to be the vague beginnings of the scenario, and then we're just going to play it out and see what happens.
Right.
That was a lot of fun, because I played with people I'd never played or met before, and that was great. Uh-huh. And I was being DM'd by a good friend of mine, Dungeon Mastered by a very good friend of mine. And yeah, mm-hmm. that was a hell of a lot of fun, but in the context of the overall story, I'm like, I don't really know if I'm supposed to be this forward.
Right.
I don't know whether I'm about to screw over your major plot.
Okay.
Sorry. But I just went for it anyway, because as a DM or a GM, like, you have to be able to adapt to weird changes that your players take.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided, nope, you came onto my show, you guys were terrible, you were awful to me, so I feel it's a sweet revenge, which was fun.
I love that. Revenge of the Dungeon Master. Amazing.
Well, yeah, I ran a game for them, and it was like, this is going to be a very serious, very like death-heavy game, and they turned it into a farce within 5 minutes. I'm like, do you know what? All right, I give up. Right, let's do this fast.
Okay, wow, amazing. I love it. And so voices-wise, obviously you need a variety of mix in your stories so that, you know, people don't get confused by listening and so on and so forth. How do you guarantee that within your table of players?
So I was very lucky. My original cast, I sound like I've lost someone, but I haven't. I've gained people. My original three, my first three, they all have very different sounding voices. And that was just a beautiful happenstance.
Hooray. Yeah.
One of them has like a much higher male voice. One of them has a much lower, gravelly, much slower speaking male voice. The other one had a very feminine voice. And I'm British, so there's no way you can mistake me for any of them. So I was very lucky in that respect. When I had another friend of mine, when I had Aethro join us, he has a very, not exactly a clear Icelandic accent, but again, he has a bit of an accent, and that worked really well.
Beautiful voice.
Yeah,
yes.
It's a very good voice.
You're so lucky. You have that potentially every day.
I do every day, thankfully. And then when I come to cast people to replace my voices for the NPCs that I voice, I try and get people who would sound right for the role. So I wanted my villains to be English, because I thought that was funny. So I tried to find an English voice, and I was like, I think David will be really good for this villain. I was literally like nervous for a week before I even sent him a Twitter DM like, hey, do you think you could? I'm still very nervous about approaching people for doing voiceovers and stuff.
That's fascinating. I don't think anyone should be. I think voice actors are yearning for work. Just approach them. Don't be scared.
I know. And I recently sent a message to Kareem, and I was like, hi. Yes. Do you want to be the voice of a dragon? And the response was yes, which was great. And I went to people
who
sounded
an amazing dragon.
Exactly, yes. Right? Yes, when I yes, wrote yes. When I was first writing and prepping for the world and the story, I had little notes next to people like imitate this person's voice, imitate this person's voice. And it wasn't till we were like 2 months through recording, like, oh, we're recording. I could get someone else to voice this for me. And the note I had next to the dragon was Kareem. So it took me a very long time again to get the courage up to ask him, but I did, and he thankfully said yes. So yeah, like I have a list of like voices next to people that I wanted to imitate or have the idea of, and I try and make sure they're fairly varied and sound very different, so I don't have another English woman who sounds exactly like me, because that would be
sure.
It's confusing enough that I voice everything else that I don't get voice actors in for. So yeah, I try to keep them different, but I most at least for me, I try and get males to revoice any male characters because I can't do those very well.
There's always a bit shift, you know. There's always
My editor loves doing that to me. I'm like, I hate you very much, buddy, but thank you.
Now, who is the editor on your show? What hard work do they have to put up with? What's the hardest thing you throw at them?
Our editor is actually one of our players, a guy named Neil Martin. And not only is he a fantastic player, but he is also an incredible musician. So he does. So The Lucky Die has all of its music scored by Neil. So everything you hear in it is unique.
Brilliant.
Specifically for us, and usually specifically for that moment. So he's very good at that, and it sounds beautiful.
Wow.
He also does all of the mixing and all of the like leveling and a bunch of technical editing words that I don't fully understand, but it sounds great when he's finished with us. The worst thing that we kind of really do to him is when we go on tangents, because he has to go and cut that out. And when people don't observe proper mic etiquette. For example, if I'm talking over here, you can't really hear me when I'm walking around here. Like, so I do that a lot to him because I'm constantly shifting and moving. But it's also the other things like people knocking their mic, having their webcam microphone on instead of their actual microphone that they should be using.
Oh, no.
It's having forgetting to close doors, recording in like echoey chamber, all like the very standards like VA stuff that we should know. But because they're not standard voice actors, they don't necessarily know to do that. We have trained them much better, so we're doing good on that front. But I think for him, it's when we do that stuff mostly. Poor guy.
Yeah, I mean, what top tips would you give to VAs who are setting up their space to record? Just to put your stamp on that.
So a buddy of mine recorded something recently, and he recorded it on his snowball.
Okay.
Not a terrible choice, but he left the window open. His buddy was watching TV in the other room. He left his door open, and he put no audio protection around him, so nothing that nullified the echo. And it genuinely sounded like he was recording inside a tin garbage can. I'm like, what is this, man? No wonder you asked to redo them all. Just make sure you have something to reduce that echo down. Like, even if you're in a small room, if you don't line those walls with something soft to absorb that sound, it's going to sound rough.
Good advice, I think, for anyone who's an ambitious voice actor. Is definitely worth adding to your soundproofing or what's the word? Not soundproofing, acoustic treatment, I think is the other.
Acoustic treatment, yeah. Let's use the real fancy sounding term. I currently have foam bed toppers, which have like the little eggshell looking thing on it. It was cheaper than buying acoustic foam for us here in Iceland.
Yeah.
So I have one of those on my slanted ceiling, and I have one of them on the wall to my left. Mm-hmm. I have the traditional acoustic foam that I brought from Britain, but I couldn't fit all of it in my bag, so I could only bring what I could. I have the biggest, heaviest blanket that I used, actually, the last time we did the screaming.
Yes, so the orange one.
I had that really big blanket behind. That's the one. Yeah. I've got that to one side of me, and that is, I still think, the best acoustic treatment I've ever had. I have a random ass blanket behind me, which is not exactly thick, but it does the job, and it's behind me, so it doesn't matter so much. Mm-hmm. And on the floor, I have a really thick rug. Cool. Just fine stuff, you know, make some sort of pillow fort. My first pillow fort, I had to climb under a table to get onto my chair so I could record into a box. Mm-hmm. By foam. So
I absolutely love it. Yeah, I was saying to you yesterday I had to record on my knees because my headphones that are wireless weren't charged, and so I had to be attached to my laptop, which I'd balanced on a box and something else and something else. And but bizarrely, is the best sounding audio I think I've had for a little while.
Oh,
so maybe I should do that all the time. But yeah, no, just a slightly crooked neck, bent knees, strange way of recording. So I wouldn't recommend that.
No. We need to think about manual handing and ergonomics, folks. Make sure you're comfortable when you're recording, because you can be there for a while.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah. Think of the science of biology, and you're straining everything. Brilliant. And just to cycle back round to the whole world of what you work in, do you listen to quite a few other things? Do you have time to listen to other things? And what do you think other people are doing well on the spectrum of storytelling?
So I don't actually listen to a lot of I used to a lot at my previous job. I used to listen to a lot of podcasts. I used to take in a lot of content. Now, however, pretty much my life is absorbed by going to a job that I can't really have earphones in for. And I'm so concentrated on the work that I can't listen to a story. I like to listen to a story. I don't like in my old job, like I didn't really care about the work I was doing, so I could very happily listen to the story and carry on. But I'm so involved in what I'm doing right now, like I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I tend to absorb trash media because I am so tired at the end of the day. By the time I either finish my job or I finish doing stuff for the various podcasts I'm in, I'm like, I don't have time anymore. Like, I'm exhausted. I barely have time to listen to my own podcast and QC that, let alone anything else. Blimey. Mm-hmm. I do, however, make time for a few of my favourites. I listen to Taking Initiative a fair amount, and they're a really good podcast. They do good stuff. Their storytelling is great, and I will forever be holding to them because I love them very much. They're great people. Mm-hmm. Their sound, again, is sometimes a little here and there, but all in all, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then there's obviously like all the things for like Dark Dice and Liberty and Tales from the Tower. Like, these are beautifully scripted, beautifully written, beautifully performed. Holy Hannah, are they well performed. Like, those are great things. And I highly recommend y'all go listen to those.
Yes, do. And as I say, well, I will ping links on as many as I can remember so you can find them. But yeah, I just regards to voice acting performances as well, are there any you've heard either on your show or others that you think people who want to get into this should listen to because they are brilliant?
If you want to get into voice acting, I think you need to listen to season 2, episode 10 of The White Vault.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I am clearly biased, but at that moment I was not. I was too embroiled in the story. Mm. One of the characters goes on a bit of an emotional journey, and the ending of that is just incredible. Mm. I think it's just amazing. The guy who did the voice is just, it's such a beautifully nuanced performance. And I think that was he recorded one set and then he had to record a second set because he was like, yeah, you're a little flat, try this again. And he did, and it was amazing.
Okay.
I highly recommend, like, the power of storytelling is incredible, and it's not just down to the script. There's a whole bunch of things that have to work well together.
Mm.
And I think that episode is a very good demonstration of that. And people need the escape in the storytelling right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Other than that, listen to there were two specific episodes in The Lucky Die. One is Squash's backstory, in which it starts off as a beautiful, wonderful story where I clearly lose control of my character 5 minutes later. Sorry, my player. I just lost it. He said something and I just lost my crap. There's a 10-minute like blooper of me just losing my I just couldn't carry on. Because obviously improv and I wasn't expecting it. And the beginning of that may be fun and it's a good journey and an adventure, but then it turns into something much darker and he just pulled out a line that just broke my heart. Mm. I mean, I was still evil to him after it, but it broke my heart. And the latest one we released, which is episode 110, one of my players, they are very nervous and easily embarrassed and have a lot of anxiety.
Right.
And they had to perform a speech as someone who is becoming a god. They needed followers. So they had to basically stand on a box and try and get like 500 people to follow them. And the player was very, very nervous, but they pushed through and they produced one of the most amazing speeches I think I've ever heard. Like, for me as a DM, rather than usually making them roll, I was like, no, you're just having all of it because holy crap, that was amazing. And that was improvised and the performance was so, it was so beautiful. Go listen to those.
Brilliant.
They're really good.
No, that's great. Thank you.
I'm so proud of all my players.
Hooray. See, that's lovely, isn't it? It almost, it's like you're talking about them like they are a family.
They are. The three original players, my original three, I love them all very much. Like, we don't, like any family, we don't always get on about everything and we are wildly different personalities, but I love them very, very much and I would not be without them. That's why I put so much work into this. Mm-hmm. They're great players. They when the moments when they need to be massively engaged, they are, and they bring it. And you know, I won't talk anymore about Aether. Everyone knows how I feel about that guy, so I'm just very proud of them. They do good work.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's exciting. I mean, and also to have 110 episodes under your belt of how long are these episodes generally?
So we have 110 released episodes in the main storyline and they run anywhere from 40 minutes, and the longest episode I think we clocked was 2 hours and 40, which was monumentally big, and I wish I'd managed to figure out a way to cut it down, but there just was no way. It was too important to do that. We also have 12 released episodes of a side story, a side campaign set in the same world, slightly different set of characters, similar players, and they clocking anywhere between 2 and 3.5 hours each. Yeah, and we have a bunch of side stories. I think I've done 4 or 5 of those, plus a bunch of backstories. We basically have 130-something released things on our feed.
Brilliant.
And we have 129 recorded episodes, so we still have like 19 left to put out in the world.
Wow.
And we haven't finished recording yet. And we're closing in on 7 whole days of content, so...
That's immense, isn't it? So, yeah, you could just binge that for the next week.
And if you're stuck in quarantine, my friend, you will not be out of content if you listen to the live time.
There you go.
It's hard work. It's really, really hard work.
Yeah.
There's a lot of prep that I have to do because I have to write the story but leave it open-ended where I don't force them down any particular routes because it still is a game.
Yeah.
And my editor has to do so much work to make us sound not like complete garbage.
Well,
there's a lot of work that goes into
it. I mean, that's interesting, isn't it? The timeline of that. For voice actors, what could they expect sort of giving time to this kind of project from being cast, for example?
So if you are a player, like a standard player, like one of my original three, or we've had 2 guests on so far. One of them is now permanent, one of them isn't. For them, this isn't typical of most of these kind of podcasts. Most people meet maybe once a month, record for 3, 4, maybe 5 hours, and then they produce an episode either once or twice a month.
Right.
Of varying lengths. The Lucky Die is a little more hardcore because everyone's super invested in the game. We've been recording for 3 months and then we're like, let's go weekly.
Wow.
Sorry, what?
Wow.
That's literally twice the amount of prep that I have to do and twice the amount of work my editor has to do. It was him who suggested it, so I'm like, all right, I'm aboard. So we try to record once a week for a minimum of 3 or 4 hours. 3 hours gives us 2 episodes guaranteed with a possibility of a third. If we manage to record for 6, 7, 8 hours, which we have done on occasion, that gives us about 5 episodes.
So that's all in one go?
Yep. So that happens mostly on a weekly basis. Obviously, because it gives us backlog, and it allows us to, you know, if we have to take a break, we can take a break. Like if someone needs to go do something for their home stuff, we have content to cover. We're totally fine.
Right.
We've gotten into a good routine. That was not how it was for the first 2 years of this podcast, where it was, when can we record? Right. I really hope y'all take. Yeah. And we got down to the wire on a couple of months where we were basically recording one episode, releasing. And we barely ever missed a release.
That's immense.
So we... Yeah, it was a lot of work, and our poor editor was just losing his mind, as he should be. So he and I sat down with the players, had the conversation, like, we need to do this more reasonably, and that's why we're kind of in the routine that we are now. It's working well, but we shall see. So for us, it works well.
And that's obviously quite different.
Yeah, it's definitely different, I guess. I guess it's very different from most of the things, at least I've voice acted in, where you just go, oh, I have a script. Okay, off we go then. Like 4 or 5 hours, send it off, maybe a couple of retakes, send it off, and then go home again. Yeah, it's very, very different. For people who do voiceovers for me, like David or Cream or yourself or my buddy Rethix, or I think we're up to like 15 voiceovers now. Mm-hmm. So a big bunch of people. And it's usually I give them the script of the scene that they're in. I give them a bit more of a synopsis of what's going on in that episode for context, or what has just happened to their character for context. Obviously, they would have had the long history already and like all the other stuff that I'd want to normally send to a voice actor. And I write those as soon as they are edited. As soon as my editor has edited everything, he sends it to me, I quality control it, I then write the script if it's needed, and then it goes back to my editor like, hey, do these changes and I'll send you the lines of the voice actor later. And that voice acting can be anything from 1 week turnaround to 3 months, depending on how much my editor has managed to actually edit.
Okay.
He does them in batches because he has a very busy life. So he does what he can. So those turnarounds can be very quick, but like anything else you're doing where you're trying to give out lines or receive lines, you have to be upfront and honest from the start how this process works. And I've tried to do that with everyone that I have engaged into what we're doing. Like, hi, you're an ongoing role. This is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and these are the random times. Whereas other people have gone like, you're going to turn up twice. I don't know how much warning I'm going to give you each time, but their roles are huge, or the role is really small and you'll turn up once. Like, I try and do that best and where I know. Of course it can change because my players could decide to kill the person that I've got a voice on for, or they could decide to never speak to them again, or they could make them their best buddy ever and they're constantly around. I'm like, I have no idea what to do. I don't know how to get rid of this character. Yeah.
It's just basically fun for mischievous people then.
Yeah, kind of. So if you like messing with someone and you have a bit of an aptitude for storytelling or like improvising in a role, David, again, he is also on the Dark Dice, doesn't really know a whole lot about the role-playing games, but he came on and nailed the role-playing of the character that he was on, that he was playing. And it was like, that's beautiful. You don't need to really know the game to do this. You need someone in the group who knows the game. But the mechanics of it, so long as you've got a character and you're really good at the role-playing, like, it can sound great and amazing.
Brilliant. I mean, where can someone go to find out information about this style of voice acting? Were there any places other than obviously listening to them that they can, you know, just read up a little bit on how to kick in?
So I don't know if there is necessarily a well-proven known place for getting into these kind of podcasts. If you just want to replace lines, for example, yeah, like David, I voice a line and he re-records it and we dub it into the show. Those ones, I don't know anyone who does a casting call for those. Most of the time, it's such a weird little thing to try and put in a casting call. It's not like a script thing. It's like, I don't know what lines I'm going to give you. I don't know exactly how this character's going to turn out. So it's a bit odd to put in a casting call. I think a lot of people are very similar to me, whereas they'll go, hey, our style is, hey, do you want to voice this for me? Because it would be kind of cool. And of course you have like the Fallen Scholar method, which is like, we are turning everything into a script. We are redoing a bunch of stuff. We're re-recording, adding this, adding that and the other. And that is more like a traditional casting call. However, if you want to actually be one of these players and you want to, you know, you want to improvise your way through this story with a bunch of friends who, sorry, they may not be friends when you start, but they will be by the time you finished. I can pretty much guarantee you that. I didn't know them any very well, and I love them all, and I cannot be without them in my life now. If you want to do that, just look for role-playing groups. You can find them on Roll20, which is a website that's basically allows you to store character sheets and maps, and you can do all that digitally, so you don't need to have like a map in front of you. So if you're playing remotely like we are, you don't miss having maps and minis and character sheets and stuff. It's all stored digitally, so wherever you are in the world, if you have a microphone, you're quizzing, you can play this game.
Amazing.
Yeah, so there's Roll20, there's also Reddit. I don't like Reddit, but there's also Reddit, and you can try and find groups on there. And there'll be role-playing groups on there. You could listen to any other actual play podcasts. A lot of them have Discords and fan bases, and quite often when we see it in ours, we saw it in Taking Initiatives, Nerds in Our Role. Like, all those folks, they have Discords, and there's always a channel in that Discord, basically like a forum, which says, I want to find a group to play with. And that's how you do it. However, turning your traditional like game, if you're looking to play, if you're looking to play a role or you're looking to play in the game, if you're looking to turn it into a podcast, have a definite plan and make sure that's clear from the start, because role playing and playing this game for a podcast is slightly different from just playing the game normally. If you're looking to be in a role-playing podcast, I think that's probably a lot more difficult than it is just to find a normal game, because it takes so much more work. When you traditionally play, you can move little like markers and character tokens around on a sheet, but if you have to do that verbally like I do, you suddenly realize that having maps down, having minis down, you have to describe everything a lot more because you don't have access to that. It's all in your mind rather than laid out in front of you in a 3D grid. It's very, very different manner of playing that same game. So if you're looking to play in one of their podcasts, you could, and I've had this happen, message the podcast and say, hi, I'm looking to be a guest, and be clear that you want to play, or if you want to take over a character voice, like, hi, I'm open to be a character voice, just send me the lines, or send them like, hi, I want to play in your podcast. I don't know how well that one will work, but you can definitely give it a shot. A lot of podcasts, actual plays, they will run very, very differently.
Oh, I am all for being proactive, yes.
Yeah, be proactive, because you never know what happens. They may be like, yes. yeah, you're in, or they'll be like, I can't.
Yeah. Hooray, you're in. I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? Because for me, I do love improvisation. I do a lot. In fact, I've just started. Someone said to me, because when I do my warm-ups for some of the things, I just talk nonsense for a bit and do some voices. And obviously that's recorded on the beginning of things just while I'm warming up. And I accidentally pinged someone. I improvised something on the beginning of a recording, which I totally didn't intend to do. And they're like, oh, this is really good. You should send these out. So I've started to actually collate them, and so I think improvisation, I love it, and I've never really thought about doing the style of podcast that you do properly, but I think the challenge of it is really exciting as an actor, and also extremely scary. I think one of the most scary things I did this year was I went to a musical improvised musical session. It was basically pianist was amazing. He picked up, on certain rhythms or whatever, and we just sang improvised these scenarios we were given, and not just individually but also whole choruses together with people. And it was just the scariest but most exhilarating thing ever. And I think I get that from improvisation, and I feel like if that's your jam, then maybe yes, have a little play in the D&D live role play kind of world and see what happens.
I would absolutely recommend playing a game with someone before you decide you want to do this in a podcast, because there are a lot of theories on being a good dungeon mistress or game runner or being a good player. There are lots of theories, lots of help out there to help you do that. Because it's not just improvising like, oh, I'm going to pick up my spear and stab him in the face because, haha, now he's dead. Like, that's not quite how this works.
It's
very slightly and making sure that, it's a very delicate balance. And I would always highly recommend playing at least one or two games before you decide that podcasting is the thing that you want to do in this respect. Because, I mean, some people are very chill, relaxed. They only ever do like a game. So we spend like 3 hours and that's the entire game. And then you move on to a different story. Something like ours is very campaign and character led. And I wouldn't be able to do that if it wasn't for the players. And the dedication, and it takes a long time. It really does. It takes a long time to get through this style of storytelling.
Wow.
And it can go horrifically wrong.
Okay.
you can, as a player, do something that is just not good. There is that pressure.
Can you die by accident? I mean, is that...
Abso-frickin-lutely. Absolutely. I try and warn my players that when I'm out to kill them, i.e. the story demands that this needs to be a death here somewhere, I don't use that very lightly, because death is a...
Wow.
For me, a storytelling mechanic that is definitely finite... Like, it ends something, whereas if you leave something alive or the possibility, there are possibilities. You don't have that necessarily with death. Now, in Dungeons & Dragons, you can be revived from the dead, so that kind of moots the point for a little bit, but it's still a big thing, and I made sure to change the mechanics to make sure that it's still a big thing when you die. So, yeah.
See, I love... You sound amazing. I mean, you know, not only creating these worlds and the planning that must go behind the story kind of... guiding it in some respect, but the whole unknown aspect and just going with it, going with what your players do or your guests. And I bow to you and any dungeon master who, you know, I mean, a lot of this generation now are potentially only being introduced to this style through, like, watching Stranger Things or something, you know, and thinking, oh, this is quite a fun adventure. And so, yeah, I think any person who is doing the job that you do should, you know, godlike qualities, or goddess, well, in creating
it. I do remind them that I am their god. I am literally the world. So, like, Dungeons & Dragons has, like, what we call campaign settings. So they have, like, particular worlds already pre-built with all the lore in it. It's the same as if any writer were to go, right, I'm going to write the lore of this world and then I'm going to write the script. Dungeons & Dragons already provide you a lot of that lore. And they also provide you pre-written campaigns, i.e. they've already given you a storyline. They just haven't given you the script or the dialogue, and that's entirely up to you and your players. I took it a step further, ignored all the lore that was initially in there and wrote everything for myself, because I was like, I don't know their lore very well, and if I f***ed up, someone's going to yell at me, so I'm just going to start from fresh, which seemed like a great idea, but then 2 weeks later, locked in my computer room where I hadn't really left except to pee and sleep. I had meals brought to me. It was 2 weeks later, I'm like, I've only just finished building the world, now I have to build them the rest of the story.
See, yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time in there rebuilding mechanics, rebuilding the world, fleshing out characters that they knew, building in their storylines. So yeah, I spent 2 solid weeks of literally, I think, 16 hours like for days and then. And then every time we record, I probably spend anywhere between 2 hours if it's an easy-ish session, inverted commas, there's nothing easy with these guys, or I spend something like up to like 16 hours.
Wow.
And that's just for anywhere between a 3 and an 8 hour recording session. The scales don't always, they're not like a 1-to-1. Like, if we do 1 hour recording, that's 2 hours of prep. No, it can be vastly different. I don't want to think the amount of hours I've spent prepping for these games and getting ready and sending lines out and listening to the episode again to see if it sounds good. Because you can record stuff and it sounds good and funny at the time, but then you have to cut it out and think about the pacing and whether it diverts too much from the story. And then there's all that. And then there's obviously the media, and it's an unending task, but it's my baby.
Well, this is it. I mean, it sounds a huge amount of work. And I was just thinking right then, like, we haven't really talked much yet about the style of characters, the types of characters that might pop up in these adventures. Do you want to just say the kind of range of things that people could expect to potentially be taking on?
My players are anything from a prince who has been thrown out of the royal line and stuck in prison. We have a guy who is exceptionally very, very, very sick for a creature of his race and was thrown in prison for killing his wife, even though he didn't. And then we have a dwarf who is nothing and is now becoming the goddess of bloody vengeance, which I love so, so much.
Wow.
She was stuck in prison for actual murder. She's the only one of my team who's actually a murderer.
Wow.
And then we also have Aether, who's come in, and he brought a character and he said, if this is too much, let me know. And he was like, I want my character to be a drug addict. I'm like, perfect, we'll get you on the road to recovery. And that's what we're doing with him now, is getting him through that part of his, and he's gone on a big journey from scared tiny little thing who's always running away, getting high, to trying to take a forefront and trying to grow up and be an adult, which is a life great lessons. Like travel. Yeah. So we've gone from like, yeah, exactly. Those are things. For people doing voiceovers, I have everything from a very old ancient dragon who's the last dragon so far as he knows in the world. We have someone who is part of like a hive mind who's come to destroy the planet, and that's David. We have a sentient talking sword. Yes. We have Valkyries. We have kings and queens. We have tribal leaders. We have orcs. We have tieflings, which are basically people that walk around with horns, and the theory being that they made deals with the devil way back when.
Right.
We have necromancers. We have even just your bog standard Grim Reaper wandering around. So voiceovers are very mixed in this world, and they have arcs fantastic. All of their own, from a poor little girl who's growing up with her father, and her father goes missing, and then she becomes magic herself, and then she does things like save people's lives, and then she makes things. So there's a little journey for all of the random NPCs they meet, and usually I have to voice them on the fly, and they can be anything from Scottish to Southern England and Hooray. Really bad American and crap Russian. And my favourite is one of the horsemen of the apocalypse. And one of the horsemen of the apocalypse is French. That was a terrible accent, and I really hope they never meet him again.
That's brilliant. Okay, so come on, tell me now, if you could play anyone, any character that you haven't yet played, who would you like to be?
In podcasting overall? Or on my own show?
Well, in any show ever.
I think I would probably... I really like doing those detached computer voices. So I'd want to be someone's AI.
Cool. Cool, yes, I could imagine you
right,
being
AIs,
quite...
give me AIs, please, please. I love
naughty,
them so much.
Mischievous AIs, I feel.
Yes, with a sense of humour. The yes. only humanity thing they're learning is how to be funny or sarcastic. I can do those.
Well, maybe we should just do an improvised session, and that can go out on my improvised nonsense podcast. make your AI dreams come true. But no,
what about you, Sarah? In this like bizarre fantasy world that a lot of these actual play podcasts are in, what kind of character would you want to play?
Something flaming.
Something on fire or with magical fire?
Yes. All of the fire. I'm ex-matic. I spend most of my life on fire, right? So let's put that in the fantasy realms and see what happens. No, I think naughty is the best fun, isn't it? Naughty,
oh,
mischievous.
Absolutely.
And I do feel that flying, naughty, mischievous, on fire, that's the voice I want to find.
Well, next time I bring, funny enough, we missed the boat on that one for us. We had a phoenix.
Dang it.
She was a human. And then when she hit a point where she was about to die, she turned into a phoenix and then turned into an egg. So, and she was constantly drunk.
Wow.
She was immortal and decided that this life that she was living this time around, you know, because she dies every 50 or 60 years, if not earlier by accident. She decided this life of her thousand lives that she was having, this one was going to be spent entirely drunk.
I can't do drunk. I don't do drunk.
No, of course you don't. No.
I don't know where to start. no, favourite role ever, actually. But yeah, I think, you know, the scope for actors is very exciting, isn't it, in this realm? And thank you so much for sharing all of this brilliant, brilliant advice and thoughtful, you know, just shows how much work you put into these. It's not just a slapdash throw it together.
Yeah, it can be. A lot of people can do that, and they can make very successful podcasts out of it. We just decided to go on the route of like, yeah, we actually want to put a lot more work into this to make it sound better, in our opinion.
Brilliant.
That's what we've gone. I think if you're looking to get into this and you're not really sure how, find some actual play podcasts and just send them an email, because a lot of people don't know who to approach for voiceovers, and they're just like, oh, I'll just do it all myself. I think they might jump at the chance if someone like, hi, can I voice one of your characters? Or, hey, can I be a player on your podcast? Just send them out. The worst that will happen is they'll say no.
Well, there you go. You heard it from him. You need to contact him as soon as possible. And
please, please, I will take all the voices I can. Please, I'm running out. I need to learn new accents. I can't.
Amazing. Yeah, well, we'll pin all of those bits of information on the show notes. So ping him and get involved. Well, thank you for being amazing. You're stellar as usual. Happy creating, happy voicing, happy making people's lives crazier online and off. And yeah, stay safe in these crazy times.
Bye.
Hooray.
I don't know how to end these, Sarah.
I just
thanks stay safe. This is a great interview, Sarah, do more.
Well, I just got scared because I looked down and thought there's a cat, and I don't have a cat, but it's actually my slipper, so it's all right.